Hello, my fabulous friends and listeners, and welcome to another edition of Loveline. It's 11:12 p.m. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, and we have a fabulous show in store for you tonight. I'm here in the studio with my closest male friend, Pablo. And the guest we had planned didn't quite work out, and so we're going to discuss some of our own feelings. I personally had a very intriguing interaction in the Carnegie Mellon University shower just a few minutes ago.
Just now?
Just now. I was doing my daily exercise.
That might explain. You seem a little harried or unfocused.
Well, it doesn't happen every day. I mean, I am, of course, a paragon of male beauty because of my daily athletic workout, and I understand that people revere me as a sexual god, but they normally keep it under control, but this very attractive young man.
I'm sorry, Corey. I'm a little disgusted by this. You know, usually I'm very aroused, powerfully aroused by these things that we exchange
well,
here.
Well, just let me.
No. Hold on for a second. Look, for a week I've been reading nothing but sex in the general media. Now, you know, sex is not so special anymore. It doesn't arouse me today. Can we talk? Can we, now that the general media is doing this other sexual stuff, can we do a show about real issues here?
Well, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. I mean, we started the whole notion of sex on the radio, and I'm sorry if CNN and the White House seem to be picking it up as their thing, but I feel like it's the domain that we established, and we should stick with it.
But part of our reason to do the show was to provide some balance to the non-sexual point of view in the general media. And now we have to provide the opposite balance.
So what you're saying is to be on the vanguard, we actually have to continually...
Well, for the good of humanity, which has always been our immediate goal, yes. I think we should talk about something else today. Look, I think I just saw the guy coming in. Hold on.
What's happening? Juan, you're putting me through too many changes.
Okay, all right. I know this guy. I cannot tell you his name, and he is, nor his job, really, but I can tell you that he works for the government.
Is that White House stationery that you're holding?
Hi. Use that microphone.
Hi.
So what key, should we use a code name for you, or?
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
probably,
well, yeah. Let's call him Desmond or something. And
That's fine.
That's fine?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so...
Hi, you are?
I am, I'm DJ Fresh Sudsy 2000, and I just came back from the University Center showers where I had a sexual...
Oh, come on.
Well, fine. You two just have your little chat.
Yeah, you had a little Secret Service man finding you in a compromising position in the showers, right?
Well,
okay.
I mean, this is all they're talking about... You know, inside the Beltway too. It's really boring.
And look, we have
suddenly you have reputable journal, reputable news magazines like Time. Making bad puns about various exotic sexual positions.
Yeah. Right? Do you want to be like Time? What is the DJ Fresh?
No, that would be the worst possible thing.
Right.
If you make me do, for example, a show about angels, I'm quitting.
Well, I would like to make you.
For the record, I have no comment about the existence of angels or the non-existence of angels.
All rumors to their assistance are false.
I can say nothing about that.
So, look, and we have the expert here today. He just happened to drop by. So why don't we, for once, talk about the real issues that are not being addressed currently? I mean, today was the State of the Union address. I don't even know what what's his name, said the President, Clinton. And... what else? There is this Iraq thing going on. There's so many things to talk about.
Well, we can try. I'm frankly feeling a little out of sorts because I get most of my news from, either the Inquirer or the porn news groups, and so I don't get the traditional news feed, so I'm feeling out of sorts. But if Desmond here...
Right, Desmond can inform us because I also, you know, all I read is technical papers also.
Well, I have to admit I spent a lot of the week, you know, spin doctoring and, you know, firefighting little things, but, maybe I... heard a little bit, you know, while coming in from the airport.
So first question, bottom line, how large is the president's penis? Is it curved?
I'm afraid I haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
Does Bill Clinton have homosexual feelings?
Certainly doesn't.
Has he ever been with a man?
Doesn't find me attractive. I can't say more than that.
That's, frankly, this week... I don't find any of that interesting because the greatest revelation would come as no surprise. It would make me explore the confines of my imagination or you know, it doesn't help me expand the kind of things I can think about. However, so what was the State of the Union about?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of things going on in Washington today that, you know, that had nothing to do with nothing to do with sex. But you know, the big media isn't interested in that. They've stolen your format, Fresh, and it's really I don't know what
success
you
know, is.
Imitation may be the sincerest form of flattery. I can understand why you're flustered, but anyway. So
what was
the president had a few
universe?
Important points to make, and since CNN and the big networks are presumably just going to talk about the, you know, the grand jury meeting today and won't give fair coverage to the State of the Union address. I mean, here's an opportunity. You have an hour available, right? And you have a university of, you know, new voters.
The world is
presumably interested
in
what's going on in the world.
All right. Well, I'm willing to, as you all know, I'm willing to try anything once. I'm willing to go with this. I should remind our viewers that we're always available by phone at 621-WRCT, 268-WRCT, and if you're calling from out of state, from D.C. perhaps, country code 1, area code 412-621-9728. Please give us a call.
That's very good. You do that without notes.
I'm
very impressed.
Well, he was looking down, but he didn't have any paper between him and his pants. So, so what was
I said, I didn't see an advance copy because I was just too busy this week, and I only heard selected snippets coming in the cab coming in from the airport.
Did you write any part of it?
What? No.
Okay.
No. There were two little things I heard. One was that he wants to focus on restoring the security in the Social Security fund.
Putting the security back into Social Security. That would be a good slogan.
That's wonderful. I'll have to forward that up the pipeline. Maybe he'll. Is it okay if he uses that one?
Absolutely. I release all my. Look, I'm giving away my show. This, you know, we're probably gonna be out of funding in 2 weeks. Take it all. You can have all my best ideas.
Bitter?
Well, I'm very bitter. I mean,
you arrived here. You were a little flustered. Now we provide you.
Look, you know, you go through 7 years of grad school and get denied a sexual encounter in the shower just half an hour ago. When your own
talking about sex again.
When your own sexuality is on totally shaky ground, as you well know, I don't.
What sort of? You're a graduate student, and you're doing some sort of sex thesis or something. What is your area of research?
Well, in order to get government funding, I had to pretend that I was doing serious networking research, but in fact, that is just a facade over my.
I'm starting to wonder if you could actually, you know, concentrate on anything that didn't involve sex for longer than a minute or two.
You do work on multimedia networking performance, right?
Distributed teledildonics, actually.
Ah, okay. So it's virtual reality form of telepresence, then.
Yes. With
the Pentagon is interested in this? That's very interesting.
Well, the plan, I mean, part of the plan, as you know, sex is the primary drive that motivates Americans. It's well known that sex built the Internet. Sex built the web, you know. There's plenty of things. Minitel in France, for example, is such a hit because of the various sex lines that are on there. And the government realizes that there are no dummies, as you know, being a government employee. Sex applications are the most powerful. They're where the money is. They're where the power is. If you keep your people sexually satisfied, they'll be easy to control. I believe Lenin knew this.
Bread, circus, and dildos.
Exactly.
Right. So, well, that could be an interesting point of public policy, I suppose. Do you have any?
I'm certainly not in a position to comment
on. I believe that's exactly the flaw that Bill Clinton made, because by revealing his sexual side, he revealed that he was not. I mean, public figures have to be above the rest of us. They have to be greater than the common person. They have to be nobler. And to realize that he's just a big sex pig, and he'll let any freakish little intern.
Wait, these are allegations. He's denying it. So, in fact, even if he is the sex pig, he's in fact fighting against your goal of liberating sexual mores in the country, right?
There's been no evidence that, you know, incontrovertible evidence that presented that the president is anything like the man you've just described.
Now, we're free to imagine. And I want to talk to that. We should interview that Secret Service man who came forth apparently yesterday or
yeah,
whatever.
Can you
no, that, that I that was a rumor. The Dallas Morning Star, you know, eager to get that scoop.
Even the, in fact, they withdrew the story, right?
The story was on the net, I believe,
so
for a whole
is that
hour.
Has the story been withdrawn or
suppressed?
It was suppressed.
It was withdrawn before Nightline ended.
But, look, we can imagine the situation even if it's not true. So that's... In fact, I'm starting to realize that... where are you going?
I have to go relieve myself.
Relieve yourself. So, I was just getting interested in the sexual topic again, and now we're a major exponent of this has left. But so you think the whole story is a hoax?
There's been no proof, and one of the hallmarks of this nation is a man is innocent until proven guilty, shouldn't that be true of no less true of the president than of the
So do you think all these radio stations they are made up this sexual story? I'm sure.
No, I believe they are sincere in what they're doing, but if they had incontrovertible evidence, they would report it. I'm sure. I mean, they haven't. So it's just base sensationalism. That's what it is.
Why then this? I mean, the reason people are getting off on this story is that, I guess we can call it a story because it is fiction so far. But the reason people are getting off on it is that they like sex, and they like to watch or imagine people having sex or giving each other blowjobs, right?
That's fine, but it's hampering...
So why can't we do that in a straightforward manner? Why do we have to find these scandals with public figures to do it? Why can't people just talk about it?
Why can't
the news have a segment about cats that were left in trees and the firemen came to rescue them, and then another segment about... the positions that people prefer in your neighborhood.
You know, maybe the current story will have broken a certain, that taboo, and maybe we'll start seeing it within the bounds of propriety as dictated by the FCC, which of course is there to ensure free access to the public resource, the airwaves.
I apologize for leaving the studio. I actually just went back to the showers for a moment to see if my friend was still there, but he's gone.
You are obsessed with this encounter. So 7 years of grad school, and you are denied sexual favors, but you're still thinking about your friend?
All the factors that go into making me bitter. First of all, 7 years of grad school plus the homosexual relationship that I was in, which I thought was so satisfying, is in fact a total sham. My true heterosexual feelings are budding in a state of deep confusion.
Butting.
Butting.
What is this? I'm sorry.
Plus, what is what?
Our friend DJ Fresh, he believed himself a homosexual for several years, but he recently realized the magnitude of the mistake. Yeah.
Oh. Gee.
Although wow. I don't know anymore. It's very confusing because when this young man in the shower, I admit I was looking at him and I found him very attractive, very physically arousing, and I wanted him. I wanted to couple with him.
What did he look like?
And despite my newfound heterosexuality, I don't understand where these feelings of strong desire came from because
habit.
I hope it's just habit. I mean, maybe it's just maybe by.
Did this used to happen often, before?
Well, no, it didn't actually. Maybe you know how they say that married men complain that women never pay attention to them until they become unavailable. Maybe now that by the same vein, maybe now that I've become heterosexual, all the.
Well, you were always heterosexual. You just thought you were homosexual.
Right,
is that right?
Right. You know, it's very confusing, right? But I think that's a more accurate terminology. Is mm-hmm. that I was living under the illusion of homosexuality.
So now that you've restricted yourself from that candy, crave it more.
People sense it. I mean, in the same way that when I was operating under the false mantle of homosexuality, I was very attracted to straight men because I found them. The ones that seem straight, I found them very desirable. That's why you and I ended up hooking up, Pablo, because...
No, that's a bad memory, however, for me, anyway.
it is?
Well, it was very, very nurturing, and well, it was soft, but it wasn't very exciting, I'm sorry to say. But tell us about this boy.
You've never told me this.
Well, I tried to in covert ways, but I guess...
Your encounter was passionless? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you helped me realize that I didn't like sex with other men, I suppose. But tell us about this boy in the shower now, we'll go back to talking about the state of the union address.
You're lying back. I'm doing all the work, and, you know, you're calling our encounter passionless. Well, it takes two. Look, all right, you're right.
Look, I'm not interested in partitioning blame here, okay?
Partitioning blame. Well, fine. So, I don't know what to say about this young man in the shower.
Are you starting to have doubts about the, you know, about this new path you're taking? It sounds very interesting.
Well, it could be. I for a while I was doing really well. I had for several days not thought about men or not had sexual feelings about them. I still am, of course, maintaining a physical relationship with my ex-homosexual lover, and we still do have sex, but it's purely...
Whoa, wait a second. I'm sorry, I'm confused.
It's purely mechanical. Well, as I make the transition to pure heterosexuality, it's a gradual process, and I feel it would be too cruel to cut him off completely. So I continue.
Do you think there's a chance that President Clinton is homosexual, but he is lived under the illusion of heterosexuality?
This could that would explain a lot, actually.
Yeah, from your experience, I think it matches.
Or maybe he's like me; he's struggling in the other direction.
Right. Trying to prove himself by asserting himself.
I don't think I'm in a position to say, and if I were, I probably would be bound by various confidentiality.
I would say, as my personal opinion, that his choice of sexual partners is sort of iffy, right? I mean, they're not. I mean, being the leader of the free world and the most powerful man, arguably in the world, you would think you could get whatever babes you wanted to. I mean, you know.
You're questioning the various women that he's been accused of having relationships with, other than his legal wife,
his putative wife. I mean, you know, Hillary's a babe.
His punitive wife,
putative.
Oh, putative. Okay.
Hillary's a babe, I think, but
that comes from the Latin putana or something.
Oh yeah, pudendum.
Pudendum. Okay.
What's her name? Paula, what's her name?
Paula Jones.
Paula Jones. Paula Jones. A fine human being, no doubt, but she's certainly not kind of completely fabulously attractive. You know, Michelle Lewinsky, a perfectly fine, intelligent, lovely...
Monica.
You were attracted to men, and I'm attracted to women, and maybe now you're attracted to women who are not necessarily good-looking according to some standard, right? But they're still very attractive,
right,
because they behave sexually, or they walk this way or that, right? So maybe these women are very attractive when you know them, see them.
It could be that what drew me originally to you, Pablo, was not your outward beauty, but your charisma. I could tell that you were... powerfully interesting man, and I think that's the bond that drew us together. By the same token, you were drawn to my incredible intellectual ability and research.
You're really truly the physical paragon of a man.
Well, I am now, but at the time.
It was attractive, but that was a superficial attraction, you see. And what I'm talking about is deeper than that.
I'm not a trained psychologist. My actual formal training is in art history, of all things, but is this really healthy? Well, do you think it's really healthy to dwell on these past relationships, however fulfilling, if you're now set out to change your direction? Your direction.
I think it is important. I think that you have to settle these issues, otherwise they just keep coming up. In order to honestly go forward, you have to become comfortable with all the issues in the past. And, for example, things keep cropping up. I didn't know, for example, that Pablo found me passionless. I mean, that's a blow.
Well, as I said, it could be my fault. I might not be ready for my loss of virginity in that respect.
I mean, my technique, of course, has gotten a lot better since then, since I've had so many casual sexual encounters since then. But still, you have to give me some points.
So you've had this encounter in the pool, which we still have to get to, because it could be very interesting psychologically. But now you're really trying to lure me to have another little thirst. Thirst. How do you pronounce that word?
I presume he would refuse you now.
No,
you
because
being,
no,
you being male and all.
He's luring me because he's telling me his technique is so much better now. I don't know what I missed, right? He's trying to lure me. So what is, can you honestly say that you're a heterosexual?
Well, look.
Do you miss something from the other
lifestyle? Can we get back to the Social Security thing? I was very interested in the...
Social Security. Put the security back in Social Security?
The State of the Union.
How old are you?
I am 32.
Okay, and
31. 30,
still have, and,
I don't even
and
know.
You've said that you're a student, so you still haven't worked a day in your life. So you haven't actually put any money aside in a 401k plan or something for your retirement.
That's actually, well, in my case, that's actually wrong because I spent 4 years between high school and college working.
Oh,
and
so okay. So you actually have a retirement fund, a personal retirement fund.
Pay real taxes and so on.
Oh, you paid Social Security, but did you put money away aside to manage your own pension plan?
Well,
that's growing while you're in school.
A little bit. I mean, I didn't save very much, and I'm spending it while I'm in school. But
well, no. If it were a real retirement fund, you wouldn't have tax deferred. You wouldn't have been able
to
get into it at all. Now
he got you to talk about Social Security because.
I'm trying to get back into Social Security.
Okay. No. He got you to talk about it because now he doesn't like the sex topic. Okay.
Oh.
So he was trying to lure me, as I was saying.
Into I don't know as well as you retirement do. Fund. Go on.
So what is, you're trying to lure me to have another, how do you pronounce T-H-Y-R-S-T?
Tryst.
Well, okay. So you're trying to lure me to have another tryst with you, even though you're allegedly a heterosexual now.
It's very confusing. First of all, I have no savings. If I were disabled and had to go on some kind
of
government relief program, you know, what is...
What you want is to relieve me, and I don't need to be relieved, okay?
Well, look, I mean, so there I was in the shower minding my own business, and this young man, very, very attractive, I have to say, couldn't have been more than 18 or 19, was just soaping up. And he was really kind of minding his own business, but he was just very good looking and had a very nice penis, which was partially erect, I think. And at least I thought it was. I wasn't really sure.
How long do you think Social Security would last?
I think, well, I'm not an economist, but the projections I've heard is that the current level of funding, given that the baby boom generation is starting
to retire,
like
just
is somewhere
2010.
Somewhere before you, for instance, would retire.
So you said that
somewhere in the middle of the 2030s.
So you said his penis was half
probably
erect?
About somewhere in the teens.
Isn't 2032 the Unix rollover date?
How would I know?
Did you say that his penis was half erect?
Well, it was puffy. He had a pretty big penis, and it was very, very nice looking.
Very puffy?
Very attractive penis.
Purple? Reddish?
Oh, I
don't know. Was it flushed with blood?
It was a bit engorged. And the thing is, the thing you have to remember is that when you're 18 or 19 years old, you get an erection at, like, the drop of a hat, you know. I drop a hat and, like, you know.
You can keep your hat on.
And so I pay it no mind. If someone's got an erection in the shower, I just assume, well, you know, they're young, their hormones are raging. They're just, who knows what set that off. I'm not going to, and personally, you know, I go through periods of my life when I'm more and less fit, and I'm feeling kind of flabby right now. And so I don't think that I'm personally attractive enough to really excite, you know, one of these beautiful 18-year-olds. They're probably chasing after other beautiful 18-year-olds. I don't think I'm part of that equation. So I pretty much dismiss it, although I find it...
Well, especially in your heterosexual reality.
Exciting to look at. Yeah, and now indeed, well, it's sort of unfortunate that this came up just at this time because I believe in a sense it's been a setback. You know, I was perfectly happy in my heterosexual realm, but now that I've seen this again, I think maybe I have to reconsider. Maybe I am truly a homosexual after all, and maybe I should pursue these feelings more.
Interesting. I have a question. What do you think of Clinton's new initiative to better fund elementary school education?
It sounds like a fine idea to me, but where's the money for that kind of come from?
Well, it's that budget surplus by that's starting to creep up as.
So where is this budget? Is there in fact? Tell me about the budget surplus.
Projections are that there will be a budget surplus this year, and there's an issue of how to spend it. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I mean, that's the impression I got from the little bit I heard of the State of the Union address. He's talking about so some money will, of course, is going to go to Social Security, but he also wants to dedicate a certain amount of money towards education.
I have a question. The standard bit of economic trickery that they always used to do was they would take some kind of payments and put them in the government income column when it didn't belong. What was that? Was that Social Security payments or something? Was counted as government
income? Social Security is supposed to be its own independent insurance fund, right? It was originally designed as an insurance.
So the question is, are we going to have a budgetary surplus only if we count Social Security income as income?
Yes. Yeah, that's probably.
Well, I think that's intellectually corrupt. That means we don't have a surplus, really.
No, you are intellectually corrupt. I mean, isn't the reason that you like this kid in the shower, isn't the reason that you miss the promiscuity of your homosexual days?
I don't think so at all. I in fact think I was just admiring him because of we admire youth and beauty and I think young people have a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of excitement about life, and I think you can sense that. And I think I was admiring him merely as a work of beauty, if you will, in his partially erect state,
like
partial
a Greek
state of sexual
sculpture.
Arousal. Exactly, it was a piece of erotic art, which I could admire from an intellectual standpoint without having it make me.
But he was more engorged than David.
Become homosexual, yes.
Okay.
And he was quite a bit better endowed than David.
So just his presence was enough to make you as flustered as you were when you came in? I take a showers there all the time, and we're both heterosexual. I don't get that flustered as you were.
Well, I mean, it's possible that there was indeed, in the core of my being, some kind of homosexual feeling for him. But I'm having trouble admitting that because...
Well, it might be too soon to you know, you might have a certain amount of culture of historical baggage, habits and such that you're reacting to.
You mean in my homosexual days or my heterosexual days?
Well, of your habits that are still remnant. I mean, if you say it's only that you've only seen, you know, discovered this yourself as a heterosexual for a week or
but
two.
It's a matter of days. Yeah, week or
two. Well, how long did you live as a homosexual?
But we've talked many times about people in the showers in this program sometimes, perhaps too often. He was never as flustered as he was when he came in today. So it wasn't just the habit. There was something. Did something happen? I mean, did you actually contact?
Well, that's just it. It's actually the thing about cruising, if I may use that term. And by the way,
the FCC, as far as I know, has no problem with you using that term.
By the way, I should remind our listeners that we're always available for your phone calls. 621-WRCT is our phone number. Also, 268-WRCT if you're on campus. And country code 1, area code 412-621-9728 if you're calling from any of the 50 states or overseas.
And any topic is welcome, but the topics today are Social Security, cruising, homosexuality, and the educational system.
Well, I had another question related to that I haven't asked yet. Do you think what do you think of Clinton's foreign policy initiative vis-a-vis Iraq? Do you think the threat of actually airstrikes on his so-called palaces is the right frame of mind, or do you think that the French and Russian positions of continued diplomacy would be a better avenue to take?
To be honest, there's something about this whole Clinton-Hussein thing that really kind of disturbs me. Being a current homosexual or maybe an ex-homosexual, I sense something between those two. This goes beyond geopolitics and more toward something personal. I'm wondering if they didn't have some kind of sexual relationship in the past, and And Clinton is now punishing Saddam for some perceived slight.
You know,
Could Hussein been a Rhodes, you know, been a Rhodes Scholar too? Are they about the same age?
I mean, I wouldn't surprise me if their paths crossed.
You know, when he was in England, evading the draft.
Right.
You know, have you seen that movie Wag the Dog? This fits perfectly. Most people think it's because is that they're going to start a war with Iraq to cover over this. What is the name of her name?
Paolo Lewinsky.
Well, yeah, whatever.
You mean
Lewinsky? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lewinsky.
But I bet it's the other way around. I bet that the Paula, the Lewinsky thing, is to cover Clinton's true predilection for Meng, and particularly Saddam Hussein.
I mean, so you mean that the all these rumors about heterosexual promiscuity is just a way of masking?
It's just it's homosexuality. Clinton has always, as you know, Clinton has always been thinking two steps ahead.
Right.
And of course, I mean, you have to give him that. The man is shrewd, and you also have to agree that if it turned out that he was homosexual, he would lose all political credibility. I mean, let's face it, it would be over.
You don't think America's
not ready
for
a homosexual
president?
No, definitely not.
Maybe a woman within the next 20 years.
A lesbian
but not
president
homosexual.
Is a possibility. No, that would be kind of interesting, but no way.
With or without a partner.
Would you trust a homosexual president to throw those missiles away? No. Most people wouldn't. I would, but most people
throw
wouldn't.
Those missiles away?
You know. Have this play with this phallic imagery, you know what I mean?
Like, do you think he might fire the missiles just because it would be sexually arousing to do so?
Well, because it's a thing of control. But I guess homosexual men are also
sort of penetrating the foreign countries with his missiles.
I guess I suppose that lends itself actually quite well to both.
Right, but you could indeed have that fear that he would be too eager to launch.
That's true.
Because of this sexual.
Granted, the geopolitical situation is different than has been different during his terms, but in many senses, Clinton has been a lot less militant on the international front than past presidents. I mean, even you know.
Well, then that just that
even
just,
Jimmy Carter to a certain extent.
Well, I mean, that just suggests the whole question: how many of our presidents have been secretly homosexual?
Well, most have been married. Only a few have not been married.
No, yeah.
We know, you know. That every gay actor in Hollywood is married. It means nothing.
Things to ponder. So did anything happen with your friend in the showers upstairs?
Well, no. I mean, see, that's the thing about cruising, as I was starting to say. The whole experience of getting caught up in that kind of thing and sort of chasing someone or wondering what they're thinking, are they thinking the same thing you're thinking, the sort of stalking aspect of it is actually in some sense the most exciting part, or at least a very exciting part. You know, it can be very fulfilling to just cruise for a period of time and never actually get any sexual release.
I agree completely.
And
don't you have to have some sense of progress though? You never want anything to really happen, but you have to keep your hope has to be increasing all the time. Right.
You're very right. It's a very delicate game you play where you don't want the other person to. Right. You want them to keep sort of increasing.
This is
the
true
stake.
Of flirting in general too, and not just cruising, right?
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. But the thing, cruising really is flirting. It just is.
Non-verbal signals.
A little bit more intense or a little bit more rawly sexual. So, you know, as I said, I was going through my mind. I was trying to figure out, you know, am I properly interpreting the signals that I'm receiving here, or, you know, or am I just misinterpreting his intentions? You know, if I get an erection, would that be good? Would that be bad? Would that be embarrassing? What if somebody walks in, some unknown third party,
and sees both of you with an erection?
Will I be ashamed? Am I getting the wrong? And I have many times, you know, I do get the wrong impression sometimes. I read somebody wrong and, you know, embarrass myself by doing something that I shouldn't do. And so I try to sort of suppress my reactions until I'm sure, and perhaps I've become too cautious in some sense. I mean,
I still cannot explain your flustered self.
at the beginning of the hour.
So I was in this heightened state of arousal for at least half an hour before coming to the studio, and didn't know what was going to happen, when you're in this altered state of consciousness, it's difficult to return to the sort of mundane, everyday world we all inhabit. And
do you miss the promiscuity? Wait, you said that you hadn't had for 7 years. How was that?
I'm sorry, I misunderstand the question. Are you asking me if I do throw off this yoke of homosexuality,
will you be
now
missing?
I'm not even sure about it anymore because of all these conflicting feelings I have.
Will you be missing the access to the promiscuity or the, you know? You never exercised it, right? You said that for 7 years you had not been offered a plump apple.
Well, I was referring, 7 years refers to the tenure that I, my graduate school tenure, but indeed it has been a while, especially since I was in this 4-year monogamous relationship. I actually have not had any sex outside that relationship except for various kinds of
sordid affairs.
I have not had what you would term intercourse, but I have had certain various kinds of masturbation encounters where I've either watched someone masturbating or they've watched me masturbating. Or one time I was in New York with my partner, for example, and we were at this bar, and in New York you can do just about anything apparently, this was during the gay games. This is the analog to the Olympics, but it has homosexual people in it, and they do this every 4 years. And this was in 94, and we went to this bar, and you know, there were a lot of tourists there, a lot of homosexual people. The city was crawling with gay people, and my partner and I, we went to this one bar, and people were just walking around naked with their sort of pants down. And there were these two sort of fresh-looking kids from Ohio that they looked like they were from Ohio. I don't know why I know that, but they looked very farm boyish, and they picked us up, and we were drawn together, and we had a kind of a four-way sexual mutual masturbation.
Where? Encounter. Where did you go?
Where'd you go?
Sorry, I have too much in things with details to really get excited.
Do you actually find this talk interesting? Is this the sort of thing you do every week?
On the show?
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Well, the show is, well, I mean, I think we usually talk about current events and politics for the most part.
I feel very inadequate because I do get excited with this talk, however often I repeat it.
So are you?
Do you think I have a problem?
I mean,
no.
you had. I mean, there was
no,
there was that one encounter with Fresh.
It's a sense of freedom and possibility that excites me, in any form. But perhaps I have a psychological disorder. It is true.
See, I think you are, Pablo, the worst of both worlds in some sense, because you are one of these people who's fundamentally heterosexual, but curious enough about homosexuality that you will lead men on to the point of driving them crazy with desire for you because they want you, and you will encourage them with your signals and your the things you say and your body.
I've never felt it.
But
I've never felt anybody be driven crazy by me. No man.
Well, I can say this about myself personally. With our relationship, which was consummated a small number of times in the past, even so, you know, I was devastated when you finally rejected me.
I don't know if I couldn't receive those signals, or I was repressing them, or you just didn't send them, or you're lying now. I don't know.
The only thing that I tell myself is that it must be some kind of cultural difference. The people of Spain are probably more open and yet ambiguous about their sexuality. They don't have the same kind of labels we do, and so you probably thought, once you had experienced me, that it was time to move on, and there was no need for excuses or explanations.
Well, it was like living a bad movie halfway through.
Ouch.
I'm sorry.
So if this extra Social Security money is going to go towards education,
No. I didn't hear the whole, like I said, I only heard snippets.
So I, you know, I'm probably wrong, and maybe one of your millions of listeners could call in and set the record straight.
The phones must be broken. We usually have at least a couple dozen calls by this point. Look, people, there's only 8 minutes left. If you have a point to make, make it now.
I heard two snippets. One was that the whole surplus, 100% of the surplus, will go towards stabilizing the Social Security fund. And then I also heard that money would be dedicated towards boosting education. So I can't necessarily resolve it. It might, but these are the two things I heard coming in from the airport.
If you actually heard the State of the Union address, or you're interested in any sexual topics, give us a call at, what are the numbers, DJ?
268-WRCT and 621-WRCT. I don't understand. So why isn't there enough money? I mean, how do they do this in Canada, for example? Why isn't there enough money to, like, pay for our educational system? I mean, that's a basic need of our society. That's a clear investment.
You're involved day to day with the U.S. government, so do you know anything about the Canadian federal
government?
Only what I read in the papers.
Anybody in the government has to be an expert on
everything.
On alternative theories.
But you a priori believe that there isn't enough money spent on education in this country?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you're certainly not on my education. An excellent example of the American education system. You've done pretty well.
Well, I mean, here
you are, and you know, a grad student longer than the president has been in his current job, and you know, talking about sex, you know, every week.
In the land of freedom, you can talk about sex on the radio. Well, you see,
exactly.
Within certain prescribed limits.
If you don't say certain words, and you do it at a certain time, yes.
I mean, because remember, the airwaves are a public
resource. Good.
Yes, and they have to be treated as such. Yes.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I of course respect the traditions of this fine nation, but I don't know. I mean, it seems like teachers don't get paid very much for having such a valuable and important job. And certainly, if you paid them twice as much, they'd be twice as good because people, not twice as good. I mean, it's not a direct linear relationship, I'm sure. But of course, obviously, more talented, brighter people would flock to that sector of the job market
But do you think it's an appropriate thing for the federal government to be engaged in? As last time I checked the Constitution, education was not a federal power, and as a result, it's a state responsibility.
So I'm thinking New York. What part of New York? Is this the Village?
I think it was in the Village. I don't really know New York very well. But
what kind of bar? Was it dark, light, loud music, low volume?
We actually had checked out several different bars, and so I don't know which one. But the interesting thing about the bars that we went to is that they all had these kind of back rooms, which were these dark areas where people would just go and have sex. And they were very open about it. You know, it was the expected thing in the place, and there were signs saying what kind of sex you could and could not do. For example, you know, if you are caught having anal sex, you'll be ejected, right? So that wasn't allowed at all. But, you know, various kinds of...
That's like when you eject a disquette? Is that the right kind of image? Or ejected from the bar?
Right.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That completes the metaphor for you. The diskette leaves the drive in the same way that you would be leaving the bar suddenly and with no more connection to the system bus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's these dark little areas, and people are just kind of like lying around fondling each other or just kind of standing there waiting to make a connection. You know, if you saw somebody that was your type. Oh, the most interesting part is that there's these hallways, these like dark, cramped little hallways, which you sort of had to walk through, and these hallways were lined on both sides by men. And as you walked through,
did you get handled?
Yes. If you made some kind of connection, and this is a connection at a very low level, kind of animalistic sense, they would touch you, or you would touch them, or whatever.
The Navy had something like this, right, in their training camp.
I'm not sure.
I believe they had such a tunnel, and the woman had went through it. Yeah. But anyway, go on.
Is this the tail hook thing, or is this some other?
I believe it was about 2 years ago now or so. And the Navy changed procedures wholesale because of this. There was a big scandal.
That was another, from what I understand, instance where the media decided to go for the ratings and push the
sex
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. In this case, there was some court proceedings, though, for harassment or something that were actually
The government, being representative of the people, was forced to act.
I'm not saying that the priority in pursuing this case was the correct one, but that, in fact, some kind of evidence was presented. So, in fact, how do we know? Did it start in New York gay bars, or did it start in the Navy?
Well, there's certainly no homosexuals in the Navy.
That's right. At least not that are telling.
Excuse me, but no, this America Online guy is now in the Navy. You've heard this, right?
That's right, and he's a homosexual now. It's not.
Well, okay, there's exceptions, but you need two, right?
I need two?
You need two homosexuals.
One homosexual in the Navy isn't really a threat.
But it might be like a virus, a single virus can create,
right, I mean,
change,
you know,
cells.
When you're an 18-year-old soldier, you're barely clinging to, I mean, you know, your emotions of sexuality aren't fully formed.
That's why they should allow women in the battlefields.
Should or shouldn't?
I don't know. I'm not sure I have an opinion on that. But let's go back to the New York Club. So you got, this is very exciting. You walk past through this tunnel and you make these connections that are presumably happening in a fraction of a second, right?
Well, yes. I mean, I'll have to interrupt that because I believe we've got a phone call and I'd like to handle the caller. Is the caller there?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
So, how are you and what do you have to tell us tonight?
Well, I was curious. I had a question of, I've read in books before on, I read in one book, the idea that as you grow up, like people in their 20s, they sort of revert to homosexuality. It's hard for me to try to word it. I'm not real articulate. They revert to homosexuality as like as an escape of growing older.
Well, but I think I totally agree with you. I think that when you are young, you're very curious about everything, and almost every topic is sexual, men, women, and also you're also at that stage where sex is sometimes very hard to get. In some cultures, for example, Turkish people, you have virtually no contact with the opposite sex, and so it's, do I mean Turkish or Greek?
I think the caller was talking about old people. Is that correct?
Well, no. Just people like in their late teens, 20s, even going into their 30s. It's almost like a midlife crisis deal.
That they want to feel younger and becoming homosexual is a way of doing that?
Yes. I think you might be thinking along the same lines.
It's like, I see. It's kind of like getting a little crazy and showing that you can still jump.
Yes.
Wow,
that's a good point. I've never thought of that. It's fascinating.
That's intriguing. Maybe for people who missed the 60s and all the kind of, or do I mean the 70s, the sort of open sexual period that was. I'm just sort of free associating here, but there's also this, at some point when you get old enough and you become secure with yourself, you do have a kind of crisis where you realize, I'm no longer trying to do what other people expect of me. I want to find out who I really am, and so there, you do go through this kind of experimental phase where you try to figure out what you want. Just putting the thought out there.
That sounds like a good idea to me, or a good pause. I was listening to a conversation before, I noticed who was, I'm not sure of the names, so who was the one who, he was talking about the encounter in the shower.
Oh, that was me.
Maybe you're unsure what your choice is. If you're going heterosexual or homosexual. I just thought maybe, and you said you're in your 30s or early, you're 30, 31?
Right, 32. No, that's right. And I think you're right. It was very, very confusing and arousing, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was expected of me. I didn't know if I took this step, what the ramifications would be. Would I be in trouble? Would it be exciting? I think you're right. It was an incredibly powerfully arousing moment.
You felt younger for those few minutes that the event lasted.
I felt alive, you know, electrified in some sense. So is the caller going through any kind of similar feelings? Do you have any personal experiences that you're going through that made you call, or are you just curious?
No, it's just a curiosity. I've heard this, and I've read this in one book, and I thought I'd run it by maybe some more.
Well, it's great, and I'm really thrilled that you called. This is a great call. We're over time at this point.
I'd love to continue talking to you. If you find the time to call next Tuesday or some other Tuesday, that would be great. About anything, really.
Yeah, maybe I'll call back next Tuesday.
But today we don't have time, unfortunately.
I have something to say before you sign off. Just come back to me in a minute.
So, we should thank caller. Thanks for calling. And go ahead, Desmond.
I felt before the end of the show I should disclose my true identity. In fact, my reason for being at CMU is no idle coincidence. My office in Washington has received numerous complaints about your program, and I was sent up to see it firsthand about what problem, if you were in violation of...
We have to go. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. We have serious things to talk about here.
It's midnight. Thank you for listening. And look, we did our station identification.
I can't believe you did this to us.
All right.
You introduce yourself to me. You introduce yourself to me.